Because I know I'm doing my job right when I do that, you see. Look at the way I handle Ricky Steamboat. You know, a fluke is one thing. But when I drop somebody on the floor, or I drop them in the ring, they don't get up. One simple move, it takes a split second to do. DDT, that's what it's called, and I'm not afraid of anybody. Nobody. You bring on George Steele, too. You bring on a Tito Santana if you want to. You bring on anybody you want. Coco Beware, Frankie Beware, that bird he comes around with. What a silly little thing that is. You bring Frankie Beware around that snake, my man, and Frankie be gone soon. That's the kind of guy I am. I'm the kind of guy right now, if I needed to sneeze, I'd use your hand. That's the kind of guy I am. So it doesn't matter to me if I'm going to be wrestling George Steele, or I wouldn't even mind crossing the fence, because I have no friends in this business. This is a business to me. I take it as a business. And it's serious business. And I'm talking about perhaps becoming a champion.
May I inquire as to which perhaps championship belt you have your sights on?
Let's just say the Intercontinental Championship is on my mind. And the reason it is because once you have that, then Hogan is right there. You got him anytime you want. So, Macho Man, just something to think about, my man. Could you handle a snake? I don't lie. Could you?
This is Haku, and you're listening to the Turnbuckle Throwbags with Phil. Jay and the big pain in the ass, Choppy.
Yes.
All right, make sure you listen.
Thank you.
Because Haku say so.
What this network needs, this network gets. I promise you that.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the main event of the evening.
Broadcasting live from Shaolin, Staten Island, New York City.
Freak Show Central.
Where's that?
New York City.
It's the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast with Phil, Jay, and that pain in the ass, Choppy. On Rant EM Radio, proud member of the Shining Wizards Network and Dark Satellite Media.
Yo, all right. All right. Sorry about the audio snafu. It's a work in progress. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Welcome to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, live on Rant EM Radio, Rant Entertainment Media, part of the Shining Wizards Network, part of Dark Satellite Media. I'm the Impact Player, quarantined, Mr. Philly Rea, and
joined with Jay Cop here.
Oh boy,
quarantined as well.
Jay's quarantined.
Quarantined.
Big Papa Pump is your hookup. Holler if you hear me!
That's right. Holler if you hear me, you bastards.
Yo. I do have to admit, it was just right off the bat I got a shout out to Mike Miller because he gave me a huge, I called him like 5-6 times in the last 2 days.
Yeah, probably thanks, Mike.
Yeah, and a huge, he's got his own podcast, Trophy Horse on ProvenGamer.com. So please, guys, take a listen. It's very, very, very good podcast, and he's an all right guy, but he's a very good podcast.
So, Mike, please post your link of your show in the page.
Please.
Jay, add him to the group page. And
I think he might be on.
All right, so yeah, plug all his stuff, and then send me the website. We'll put it on the .com too.
Yeah, right up. Yeah,
yeah.
No,
yeah.
Really,
so we'll do that.
Really huge help.
All right, let's say hello to former co-host of Turnbuckle Throwbacks, Mr. Kid Human.
Scott!
Let's say hello to our brother-in-arms, the Mandingo of Destiny, the Toilet Clogger, Mr. Rob Domingo.
Doing flips and shit!
All right. Mr. Sonny Ono, the innovator of selfies, is in the room with us. Hello, sir. How are you?
Proven fact.
Yes, proven fact. Sonny Ono is the innovator of selfies. You can listen to Sonny Ono's interview with us way, way back in the archives. All right. I tried using Audacity to record, and I got some kind of echo, so I fucking stopped that.
Yeah.
And all right, so here's the deal. Obviously, Jay and I aren't together. Choppy is had a family emergency, so he's not with us tonight. But everything's okay. He just had to go see the boy in the hospital. It was a bit of an emergency. Say hello to Fallon as well. Hello, Fallon.
Hello, Fallon.
Hello, gorgeous.
So for the foreseeable future, like we talked about earlier today. What's up, Shining Wizards, Tony? We're gonna be doing this remotely. I got the old equipment. I fixed Jay up with a little setup he's got going on, and we've been quarterbacking with our buddy Mike all day. It's a work in progress. Bear with us.
Yeah.
I'm working a literally crazy schedule. Jay just went back to work, so we try to squeeze this all in a couple of days. I actually had to go to Choppy's house the other day and get the equipment after work. And it's taking up most of my apartment because I only live out of one room. And Jay and I were all day, basically. Thank God Jay came by the house today to get headphones because he needed an audio jack, a headphone jack. And I was like, do you have these? He's like, I think I do. I'm like, let me just grab some for you anyway. And he gets home and says, thank God you gave it to me because I didn't have it.
I didn't have it. I thought for sure I would have had it. And like I said, anybody that knows me, I am the last person that is any sort of tech savvy. And I was actually quite reminded today that it's you know, my generation, quote unquote, that you know, should be tech savvy. But I'm like, I just got a laptop the other day. I was like, that's how tech savvy I am.
What's up, Cuzzy Rich?
Anybody see Richie?
I have been exhausted. My eyes are bloodshot. Yeah. I can barely stay awake sometimes. But today, I'm overtired. It's so bad. I've been waiting for a doctor's appointment for 3 months, and he had to talk. He had to see me over the phone today. That's how bad it is on the Northeast. I don't want to beat a dead horse. You get glue eventually, but it's pretty bad. So Jay and I talked about this like 2 weeks ago. Like, you know, if it came to this, I had a plan. Thank God.
Yeah.
We found the laptop. We didn't have the fucking cord for the laptop to plug it in. Jay got a cord, plugged it in. It worked. Jay had a microphone. Jay got himself a mixer. I went and got the old podcasting equipment. I'm working off the iMac and the MacBook with the mixer. And thank God I bought a 3-foot card table a couple months ago. And I said, you know something? I said to Fallon when I bought this, I'm like, yo, man. I said to her, I'm like, yo, this is going to help because I can play Strat on it. I can do other stuff with it. We actually, I used it for Super Bowl because I can't fit no more than two people in the house. So when Rob and Elaine came over, it was perfect. We put the table out, the snacks. I sat on the bed. And that was it. They had the couches behind me. So we did that. And it's going to work out. As Choppy would say, it's going to be fine.
It's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. Like you said, that's what we were doing. We made sure that, I'm the Ronnie Wood. I'm the Ronnie Wood of the team here.
Stop.
I'll speak for Phil and Choppy. Like, we didn't want the show to suffer either. So we were burning the midnight oil this week trying to figure out what to do, you know, places to close down and all that. So, you know, like I said, big shout out to Mike who really, really, really hooked me up. And like I said, got me. I have my podcast and training wheels on.
I told you this months ago, it's a work in progress. We're going to do it together. You're not alone. And it worked out. Worked out fine. Thank you, Mike, for troubleshooting with us today. And again, Mike, please plug your stuff on the .com and plug your stuff in the chat room. I'll put your website on the turnbuckle throwbacks.com so anybody can click the link and get it. The more people we have, the merrier. I mean, it's you know, when you have friends, in high and low places, especially with this stuff. What's up, Jamie? How are you? What's up, Aaron? Thank you for joining us tonight. Yeah, so it's been a trying couple of weeks. I'm tired, but I can't sleep. So I've been like just keeping busy all day and just trying to maintain. You know, everybody is getting sick, and we broke the record of sickness in the world right now, and we lead the league. It's sad to say, not that I want to lead the league in sickness, but.
I hate to say it like that, but U.S. you know, again, proven why we're number one. We don't have to go to this extreme, but
we don't have to go to this extreme. Yeah, right. Exactly. So, shout out to all my healthcare providers, all of our nurses, doctors, my EMTs, myself, paramedics, communication specialists, lab technicians, radiology people. You know, we're all in this shit show together. It's a big shit sandwich. And
yeah.
And we have to, we're overworked, underpaid, and we are tired. Yesterday, EMS broke a record in New York City. We had over 7,000 calls.
Wow.
That's over double what we usually get a day. That was more than 9/11, by the way. So, you know, people are panicking, people are sick, people are not sick, people don't know what to do. And the fire department has already canceled, you know, the luxury of, you know, if you go to, if you respond to a call and you want to go to a certain hospital, if they feel you're stable, they cut that off. Yeah. If you go to a call and you refuse medical attention, you normally have to call telemetry and get permission. That's out the window. You don't want to go to hospital? Fine. Next call. That's it. They can't. And effective, I think, on Sunday, they activated mutual aid, which means they're bringing in other agencies to help us out. So now you know shit's getting real. They built a MASH / morgue at the Javits Center. They're putting up little makeshift morgues in some of the smaller hospitals in Brooklyn, and people are getting sick at a record rate. So I can't stress to anybody who's on the Northeast, please, 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 please.
Yeah.
Just do the right thing.
And like I said, and that's why, like, you know, and I don't know if it was me or Choppy that brought it up, but you know, in the beginning of the week, it was just like, you know, let's, you know, if we do it together, if we, like you said, if we all just show unity and, you know, I hate to say the words like stay the fuck home, but stay the fuck home. You know,
yeah.
Like, you know, it's only going to be for a little bit.
We don't know how long it's going to be for. I mean, you're optimistic. I first said I was going along with the. By the way, I'm not a fan of Governor Cuomo. I mean, I know he's. I'm not a big fan of him. I should say I like some of the stuff that he did. A lot of stuff he didn't do, but that's another podcast. However, I do have to applaud his work and effort he's putting into this. Not knowing everything right off the bat, and then trying to catch everybody up to speed, and talking in a way that, you know, your Italian uncle would talk to you, you know, yeah. Because people like that, you know, people like when people of that stature can talk to a lay person, can talk to a common folk, the common man, you know, don't use all the big words in your lexicon, you know what I'm saying? That's the only thing I've been watching, except I don't watch CNN. I don't watch Fox News, CNBC, all that other nonsense. I watch that. I watch the my hospital's video conference every morning with our leadership group, and I look at CDC.gov and the Department of Health for New York State, and that's where I get all my news from, because I can't really bother myself with that stuff. Like, there's too much going on in my job, and Jay, your girl's a nurse, she knows the deal. Like, we're constantly being updated. We're constantly being sent memos and protocol updates and fucking, like, there's some hospitals that their nursing staffs are just going on the fly, you know, because they don't have the they don't have the equipment, they don't have the room.
She just told me, and actually I just want to sidebar and just say this is the first podcast I get to look at least my beautiful girlfriend's face instead of Choppy's ugly face.
Dude, I got to tell you, man, you upgraded. So, dude, you got yourself a computer and a fucking hot girl next to you, bro. There's no one better than Jay right now, by the way. I'm sitting here with my cat. I got my linen in the laundromat. I got two Red Bulls that Fal brought me before. And good for you. God bless, man. God bless.
But you know, she was saying on how her friend is at, you know, Rumsey over here, and they can't, she's using the same mask for a week. So, like, you know.
So are we.
It's funny, like you were saying about getting the news source. Like, you gotta just do. It's not you read something and then that's it. It's you gotta do a little bit of due diligence and kind of see if it's reputable, not reputable, and everything. So
I'm just, Tabor. I'm reading. Hey, Hammer. Hammer's in the room.
Hammer.
Tabor said they built tents outside of the hospital. Yeah, they built. They. I was telling Jay. That they flew a team in from Louisiana. They built two giant MASH tents on my hospital deck. So, thank you, everybody, for hanging out with us. And, you know.
What are we calling this? We're calling this the social distant?
The social distant. We're doing the social distance.
Yeah.
I saw a t-shirt I ordered some T-shirts. I did some retail therapy this week, and I ordered some cool shirts, a couple of new All Japan shirts and a basketball shirt. But then I saw this one called Social Distancing, but it's a Social Distortion, the band. It's their logo.
Ah,
so
sick.
I saw that. I got to tell you, everything's on lockdown. I went out for a bagel this morning. Like, I did, like, my, you know, because I didn't have any bagels in the house. I went to get bagels. And I totally forgot. Uh-huh. I should have bought booze. I don't have any booze in the house.
Man. Dude, are you kidding me? I got.
Oh, I know you have a fucking. You have a. Oh, yeah. I don't have to ask. But, yeah, I think for the time being, I'm going to have a supply of alcohol with this. Now that I'm by myself, I don't have to go anywhere, you know?
I have the sheer essentials in my car because you never know what's going to happen. I have a big pack of water that I've just been too lazy to bring into the house personally, and then I have an 18 pack of Bud Light because you never know what shit's going to go down.
Right.
And I know Shiny Wizards Kevin would knows what I'm talking about. So you never know, and you need the beer in the back seat.
Every crew has to have a boozer, man. Every crew has to have a banger and a bruiser and a boozer. Yeah. The three B's. The banger, the bruiser, and the boozer. Yeah. That's all we need.
Yeah. We got Choppy.
Please. And we got Choppy, who's a fucking pain in the ass. Hold on. No, I don't want that one. I want this one.
Choppy's a pain in the ass.
That's it. That's what I want to play. So I don't have the bell either. Choppy has the bell.
Yeah. We left the
I don't
bell
think
back.
We need Jay, I don't think we need the bell though. I think we're gonna be all right.
I think we'll be all right.
I think it'll be fine.
You know, you're funny. I'm sometimes funny, so it actually works out. Choppy's the comedian out of us.
Yeah.
Well,
Scott's it.
Well, that.
Go ahead.
I said that in the heel.
Scott said Jay has the emergency stash.
Yeah,
right.
Well,
he does.
You said 2 weeks ago, we thought, you know, governor was shutting everything down. So me and my friends were like, you know what? Screw this. Like,
yeah,
we
man.
Went out and bought Bud Light everywhere because we thought it was going to be a shortage. So
my homegirl Courtney just sent me a link to an app. You can actually order booze with an app. It's called Drizzly. I'm gonna check that out after the show.
Drizzly.
Drizzly. Oh. Yeah. I'm gonna have to, boy. Dude. I might be an alcoholic after this is all said and done.
Hey, you got no choice. What else are we gonna do?
You know, I'm not gonna front though. I have a lot of stuff to do extracurricular here. I mean, besides my strat cards, which I do solitaire anyway. I've been doing that for 20 years before I joined the league. I have Xbox, I have PlayStation, I have Nintendo Switch, I have books upon movies, I have two giant, external hard drives of just music and movies and other assorted video clips that I can't talk about publicly, but... So
I just seen Rich... Rich, you just put it. He goes, "Does Jay have a power ship?" I do, and it's safely across the other side of the table.
Yes, good boy, good boy, good boy.
It's safely across the other side of the table.
Yeah, Jay and I were talking once we figured this all out, this whole remote thing, because I did it with Scott, but my setup was way different when Scott and I did it because Scott's way down south. So, but this is a little different because it's different technology now. So it's like I have to. Go with the times and technology. Even though I know how to do it, it's definitely not my friend.
Yeah.
So
and even for me, because like I'm just used to talking to you guys in the room, so it's easier to gauge. You know what? You know where the conversation is going to go. This one is kind of like a call and response, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. Absolutely. Thank you, Mike. Mike plugged all his stuff there.
Yeah,
I got Xbox One because I have Xbox One.
So I seen a comment actually. I was trying to so Stephen Million. I'm not really good with these.
Steve Million, yeah, it's our boy from Vegas. He's a good dude. He's a big supporter of the show.
He said he's got a good question, and it's probably a good segue into. Did you hear about the thing with Teddy Hart and getting arrested?
No.
He got apparently he was allegedly, but
allegedly,
know, he was beating up Maria Manic, which I don't know.
Wait, they're an item. Maria,
oh, they've been dating for like over a
Wait,
year.
Wait, that big chick with the camouflage panties from Ring of Honor?
Yeah.
That chick's a beast. Why is she not kicking the shit out of him?
That's what I think.
She's a monster.
I think she's going through a tough time as well.
God, I wouldn't fuck with her, man. And I'm twice her size.
He put Ace Ventura. I don't think that's the racer's name. The wrestler. I think it's Ace Romero. I think I could be wrong with that one. And he there's a video of Teddy Hart, and he does not look good either. And it's just he's calling the cops and all that. And I believe Teddy Hart was arrested about a half hour later. It's kind of sad to kind of almost see this happen. But I think that was like a few days ago, two, three days ago.
Yeah, Mike, I do want to get everyone on cam. I have to friend Mike because Mike's giving me some solid information right now. Yeah. Oh, hold on.
Mike's, what did they call that? He's the king of useless knowledge.
A word?
Yeah. I mean, I told him we were doing the Discord before with the video chat. And I said, I was like, oh, man, you're so helpful. And then I hit the camera came on. I was like, God damn, you're even uglier in picture.
That's not nice. Well, where's the bell?
Listen, I tell the truth. Yeah, where's the bell?
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I want to get Jay on camera, so we could be both like we're here, but we're not here, that kind of thing. And I want to I tried downloading this OBS program that Shiny Wizard Tony was telling me about, but it kept crashing on me. So I don't know if I'm doing it wrong. I don't know if it's my Mac. I don't know if it's I'm just again I know how to use shit, but it never works for me. You know?
Yeah. Well, like you said, it's a work in progress.
Yeah, so as long as you guys all can hear us, there was an echo
that's
today. Yeah, as long as you can hear us, we hear you know, and that's fine. We'll work it all out, you know, and hopefully we can take your mind off some things for 2 hours a week. He said FOBS. All right, we're gonna have to be friends then because he's gonna help me. He's gonna be part of our Ghetto Geek Squad. So,
yeah.
Congratulations, oh, yeah. Mike. And I see he went to Bayside High School, so if he's a Queens guy, I even like him even more because I'm from Queens as well.
I think that's probably a Saved by the Bell reference if I know him.
Oh, okay, so he's not from Queens then.
No.
Okay, because Bayside is it was the ass end of Queens, but if it's Bayside, go Tigers, you know. So, yeah, I didn't even know Teddy Hart still wrestled. I thought he retired.
No, yeah. I want to say it's... I think it's all makes sense now, like why he left MLW the way he did and everything. So I want to say it's a little bit, you know, all a legend. I don't, you know, I have no source or anything. If there's smoke, there's fire to me, you know. So
correct.
I think he's got to go through some personal stuff.
All right. Well,
but it's a shame, and especially with Maria.
You know what the sad part is? Like, none of this stuff can go unnoticed now because of social media and cameras and Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, that whole Snapchat, all this other bullshit. So, like, you know, back in the day, this would take, like, you know, it would take a couple of days, a couple of weeks to hit the news. Now it's, like, right there in your face, you know?
Yeah.
So, Steve,
well, like I said,
Steve wanted to know if he knew about it. Was that his question?
Yeah, that was his question.
Okay.
So... And like I said, I mean, I watched the video. It's definitely, you know, weird and it's almost like he kept calling him Teddy Hart. It's like, hey, I don't worry, but I got you, Teddy Hart. So like you could definitely tell. I don't know. To me, it just seems like something is amiss. I smell a rat somewhere. So I don't
know.
Yeah.
All right.
But so, I know you. I know I'm not on video, but let's see if you know this sound.
That, I know that sound well. I just cracked the Red Bull, so I need the same sound.
I have the nice Broken Skull IPA.
What?
Broken Skull IPA.
Oh.
What?
So.
What?
I think of, I mean, you know, I don't want to say lack of wrestling, but...
You could be honest. Man. You're a broadcast journalist now.
You know.
What's up, Axel Foley?
Yeah.
Axel's in the room.
Hey, now.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Like Monday Night Raw, like, you know, at this point, I understand. Like, they did the right thing. They showed a match, but they showed a match from when? 4 years ago? 5 years ago? Like, did it win a .com poll or something?
It's so bad that ESPN is actually showing WrestleManias now.
Well, you know? that I don't hate.
I'm not hating on it. I'm just saying, like, that's how bad television's been for me. Like,
yeah.
Like, I have to put it this way. Television is so bad that I'm back on Elaine's Plex account and I'm watching fucking seasons of Benson from 1982, okay? And I love Benson, but like, you know, there's no wrestling, dude. I mean, yeah, I found him was here. We watched Raw, and it's just like, you know, and she's casual, so she was watching. She's like, when did this happen? I'm like, a couple of years ago. Yeah, you have to like fill her up to speed, and then like, the whole gimmick, and you're like, ugh. I was more disgusted explaining it to her because I shouldn't have to, you know, because they should know, you know. But what else are you going to show? You're going to show an empty arena of, you're going to show 3 hours of empty arena matches?
Well,
Memphis?
Did you notice that change in the camera angle? How they didn't show the empty chairs?
Why would they?
Exactly. That's what they did last week. And I was just like, man, that's a weird time to have a camera angle. That's one thing that AEW got right. They used, you know, they just shot the entranceway, which it doesn't really matter what you show.
Right.
But like, and it's funny how WWE all of a sudden turned the camera and now it's facing there. So like, you could definitely tell it's, you know, it's not easy for anybody. So, you know, at least at this rate, you know, but it's the show was, you know, granted everything going on, but it was passable at best, you know.
Yeah,
I still think they should just postpone. I don't see any reason to try to make chicken salad out of this chicken shit. Just postpone it, especially now with the news of Roman Reigns dropping.
Yeah, that's a good segue. So Roman Reigns is quarantining himself because he's in remission from leukemia. So, which takes away from the title matchup, where they'll give it to Braun Strowman. And I think it's a good move because...
I think it's a good move.
I think they'll finally put the... He's not IC champ anymore. So...
No, Zayn is, yeah.
That, I think that's why they're going to do this now, because they took the belt off him, you know.
It's very smart. It's very smart, actually. And this is finally the way to get Braun Strowman to get the belt. Why not beat Goldberg? Why not give him a big win? Braun Strowman, I mean, granted, but here's the issue with it that I have. There's no steam behind Braun Strowman. You're literally throwing him in there, which is fine because of the scenario, but he just lost. Like, I wish it would have been a bigger buildup.
Yeah, but Jay, you're less than 2 weeks away now. You're less than
two
weeks away.
Yeah, well, now you have no choice.
Right, so...
Yeah.
And there's a couple of people quarantining themselves, I think. Dana Brooke, or not, was it Dana Brooke or one of the chicks is out of it?
I think it's Dana Brooke, but I thought it wasn't by choice. I think she had.
Yeah.
That was at least my understanding.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
See, like Richie brought up a good point too. Like Bobby Lashley would be a great everybody.
He's on quarantine too.
Oh, is he?
Yep.
Oh, there you go.
Yep.
That's what I'm saying. I listen, WWE, I mean, listen, the show must go on. I get it, you know, absolutely. But, you know, you could, I don't know. I think you could just accept defeat as just as much.
You know, as a fan of almost 40 years, I feel like I would be denying myself of something cool if I didn't put some emotion into this, even though it doesn't look good on paper. And Mike's right, they would lose a lot of money if they postponed it. And you have to understand something: if you postpone it, now you're moving around SummerSlam, and there's other events, and with this pandemic going on, you don't know when the next time we could have a live show. You know, everything that's live is pretty much on lockdown. You can't go to a movie, you can't go to a concert, you can't go to a ball game. Can't go to the park. In New York City, they're taking basketball hoops down. Because the parks department was like, you kids are not killing yourselves for no reason. And they're literally going into the parks with police officers, and they're taking the hoops down because the kids won't stop playing basketball. So, like, they're killing cities right now. Economically, it's a shit show. Vince has too much money wrapped up in TV between USA
and Fox, yeah.
Viacom and now Fox, you know. So I mean, what are you gonna do? You know, what can you do? And now AEW's gonna do. Well, we get to AEW in a second, but they're on TNT. So it's like, you know, you can't just stop because the world stops. They got to keep going.
No, and that's what I'm saying. I don't want that to get lost in translation. Like, I'm saying it, you know, applauding them because that's all you really kind of can do right now is you do. I mean, WWE especially was always on the forefront of this type of stuff. Like, you remember 9/11? Like, after 9/11 happened on a Tuesday, they did a live SmackDown
in Texas
that Thursday or Friday.
I remember, of course, so, we played it on Turnbuckle Throwbacks a few times.
Yeah, and, you know, so, like, they, you know, and that's just one example. I'm sure there's a few more. That's the only one that just came to my mind. But, you know, like, they're always on that. So I get it why. Like, hey, listen, and I think Triple H lead mentioned to it. He's like, you know, that's why we're here. We're here to you know, entertain. And it's just like everything else. It's just to take your mind off of what's happening. And that's what I'm saying. That's where they need the applause there. You know, I'm just, once again, just being critical. That's kind of what it comes down to. And, you know, and like you said, as we say, broadcast journalism, you know, to me, it's just, you could have done a little bit more, but at the same time, if your back's against the wall, what else can you really do?
Yeah. You're breaking up a little bit there, buddy. You all right over there?
I think so. I want to say so.
Yeah, you're like breaking up a little
bit. I have connection.
Yeah. Just double check.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I'm still on.
Okay. You know, so we're going to make it fun. Here's what we're going to do. Next week, if we're chopless or we're not chopless, regardless, we're going to be doing we're going to be celebrating the 30th anniversary of WrestleMania 6. That'll be our throwback next week. On top of that, you're going to get, we're going to get a WrestleMania preview. We'll preview all the matches. We'll give we have to anyway, because Jay's obsessed now with points. So we're going to do that, and we're going to open the Discord up. Does the Discord program take some calls? You know, you guys want to call in, we'll do a WrestleMania show. I'm off the next day, so maybe we'll do like a post show. On the Rant, hopefully the Rant do a post show. We could jump on that with them.
Yeah.
The Rant normally goes all out WrestleMania weekend. It's a little lackluster right now because of what's going on. You know, I don't want to shit on it. I want to and I don't. You know, part of me is like passive aggressive and is like, you know, take the high road. And then part of me is like, ah, fuck these guys. You know, it's ridiculous that they're doing this. But I guess as an older fan, I see the bigger picture and why they're doing it. You know, do I agree with it? Of course, I don't agree with it. I'm a fan like all of you guys are. You know.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying, and I don't want that to get lost there. Like I'm absolutely on board with but you know, it's just at the other side of me is just going. You could just, if you can postpone. I understand money, and there's just so many things involved. But like you said, something like this, it's
right.
The usual pizzazz that's there. It's going to be lackluster.
Right, and if you move it or postpone it, how do you know you're going to get another date? Sports leagues right now are preparing not to play sports the rest of the year.
Yeah,
baseball was supposed to start yesterday. Okay, basketball and hockey is supposed to end like next week and then go into the playoffs. There's no March Madness. You know, at this point, if it goes the whole year, no college football, no NFL. Can you imagine that?
That's crazy.
And that the NFL, crazy. The NFL and the MLB generate billions of dollars off TV.
Yeah.
Think about that for a second. So there's a bigger issue. Obviously, this is a wrestling podcast. We're doing wrestling. But, I mean, we all know the tragic stuff that's going on now with the world. So I see what they're trying to do, and it's applaudable, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
The younger fans are going to shit on it because they're, let's be honest, they're young, they're full of shit, and be honest, they're sense of entitlement. You know, it's like these younger wrestling fans. I'm not trying to shit on everybody, but the truth, you see some of the comments on social media, it's like they just tear it apart. Don't fucking watch it. Same with the podcast. If you don't like a certain podcast or a TV show or you know, anything on TV or radio, don't listen to it. Don't watch it. No one's holding you. No one's holding you hostage. You know what I'm saying? This is an art form. We take this real seriously. We watch pro wrestling like people watch a Broadway show or a ballet or a dance recital. Like that's how I interpret wrestling. The performers. How are you telling me a story with your body in the ring? Or on stage, if you're a dancer or whatever it is, you know. People are like, oh, go see Swan Lake. And people are like, oh, just a fucking chick dancing leotards. No, she's telling a story. But with her body and the music. Wrestling, same thing. Yeah, this is for us, this is our Super Bowl, this is our Stanley Cup, this is our, you know, Sprint Cup. This is our Super Bowl weekend next week, and it's basically taken away from us. Can you imagine if they canceled the Super Bowl, which is the most watched show on TV all year? Can you imagine that? People would lose their minds, you know? But the bigger picture is that there's something going on. That's why this isn't happening. So
yeah, exactly. And that's what I was just saying. Like, you know, I'm looking at it from storyline. They're literally just, you know, they're, like I said, people are quarantining themselves. And so they're depleted a little bit. And that's what I'm saying. Like, at what point do you just kind of pull back and just go, I'm not saying cancel it, but like if you could get a later date, but like you said, this is kind of we're in uncharted territories. We don't know what's going to happen at all.
I would be on board with your suggestion if they gave me a date of when this pandemic was capped.
Exactly.
Like if you said to me, hey, Phil, this is going to be capped by May 1st. Let's do June or end of May for WrestleMania. You know what I'm saying? Like that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
What's up, Mark from Detroit, Mr. Jabba Junkie, Mr. Christopher McLeese? Let's do that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like if you give me a date, then I'm cool in the gang with that, you know? But there is no date. There is no date. So it's like you can't tell me let's postpone it till when? Fucking December? You know what I'm saying? Like it's you know. So
and that's what I'm saying. They're doing the proverbial chicken salad out of chicken shit, and that's what I'm saying. That's where they get the pat on the back. But like you said, you know, it's just it could. I'm just looking at it as what ifs. Like what if you know you could have gotten Braun Strowman just a month worth of
sure
vignettes.
I mean, 100%.
It would make the match that much bigger.
Listen,
I think.
You know what I thought about too, and I was holding this. I didn't want to say this to you guys before the show because I figured this is another way to look at it. Here's another way to look at it too. And you could agree, you don't have to agree. The performers, knowing the situation, are going to go all out.
Yes,
they're going to have to turn off whatever they turn on for the crowd because the crowd's not going to be there. Now it's two nights. NXT is moving their shit even further up.
Yeah.
We're getting TakeOver on Wednesday.
Which is going to be big.
Right. With no crowd. Now, just hear me out for a second. Listen, you're a musician. I used to be a musician. I sang in a band. You play drums. We play for 8 people sometimes. In a bar.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes no people. My band played, quick story for you. One of my bands played the night that Holyfield got his ear bitten by Mike Tyson.
Okay.
The entire bar went to the front of the fucking the bar to watch this on TV. We played in front of the sound man. And I had no choice.
Yeah.
Okay? So the show has to go on. So now these performers are going to give you 100%. Not that they don't give you 110% all the time, but they're going to make a conscious effort to go way out of the way to make sure this is the best work they ever do,
and to make it different. And like I said, I agree with that. Like because it's funny you say that. I always used to say to Joe, my band's played in front of the other bands. That's it. That's the only person we've ever played. You know.
Yeah, we've done that too. We've done that too.
But like something like this, like you know that they're not going to phone it in, which is great.
Yeah.
And so I'm excited in that sense. I'm looking at it as like, God damn, I wish they would have just, why couldn't it have been Braun Strowman Goldberg originally? That's, you know, that's kind of the point I'm trying to, I guess, beat around the bush on.
Damn, Mark, Mark from Detroit says, Phil, I look at it this way. The talent has absolutely nothing to lose since the crowd isn't there to judge them. So they could step up the highest. Exactly. That's what I just said. They're gonna walk out of there. They're going to walk in that place and be like, okay, here it goes. Here's all I have, you know?
Yeah.
There's no crowd. There's no nothing. Like, this is who we are. And I'm telling you right now, NXT is going to go way off. It's going to be – I watched get to segue into that for a second. I watched NXT this morning and the Triple H Gargano Ciampa thing.
Yeah.
How would you not want a crowd for that? And then all of a sudden Gargano's like, I don't need a crowd. That's exactly because, you know, Triple H is like, listen, guys, this is out of hand. You guys are breaking stuff. You're hurting each other. You're taking time up from your set to third. Me and Sean had the same kind of thing. So Triple H really played it up, right? And then all Gargano said to him was, I don't need an audience.
Yeah.
Like, that's it.
And that's why, like, I was saying that to you before, like, you know, AEW last week, I think, won the quote-unquote battle of the shows. This week was NXT head and shoulders.
Yeah. That's going to happen, man.
Yeah.
Because now stories that deserve a crowd, like the Dark Order, the Kenny Omega, Hangman Page, Elite thing, the Darby Allin thing, the Jake the Snake Roberts thing with Lance Archer, Gargano Ciampa, Velveteen Dream now with Adam Cole, baby. Keith Lee and his thing with Punishment Martinez, Gonzalez Enriquez, Damian Awful Priest, you know. But you know, those guys, Charlotte and fucking what's a nuts? Rhea Ripley. Dude, tell me that doesn't deserve an audience. That chick's not even 20. I think she's 25 years old, 23 years old.
I agree.
Dude, she's the future of she's a franchise player. Her and Charlotte are going to kill each other in front of cameramen. Okay? Yeah. I'm not mad at it, but like those things, they're getting the audience taken away from them. That's not their doing. So they're going to have to exude, you know, as Paulie would say, hide the negatives and go with the pop, you know, how does he say it?
Hide the negatives and accent the positives.
That's right. Yeah, that's Paulie, man.
Yeah.
So, you know, they have the machine behind them. They got the best audio and video people in the business. They have their own network. They have a ton of road agents and people in the back that's going to make them look and feel like $100 million, I should say. And they're gonna come correct. So as much as I'm hesitant about this whole thing being not one but 2 days now, I'm gonna need liquor for that, by the way. But especially since I can't watch it with anybody because everybody's gonna be fucking stuck in the house. But you know, it's you know, yeah. Accentuate the positives. Thank you, Otto. Hi, Tracy. How are you? But like you really have to look at this in another way. That way, you have to be like, all right, there's no crowd. It's 2 days. You know, what can they possibly do? They have, and their talent pool gets better and better every year. You know,
I was just gonna say, and it's getting deep right now.
Yeah, when I was a kid, you had a solid roster, but the amazing guys all wrestled the mid card. Why? Because of Hulk Hogan. Why? Because of Ric Flair, you know, those guys. But I had amazing mid-carders. We had Tito Santana. We had Mr. Perfect. We had Morocco. We had Steamboat. We had Savage. Savage became a main player, but he wasn't a main player at first, initially. So now it's deeper than that now. You got guys on Raw. Your top five guys on Raw can probably headline any show in the world right now. The Kevin Owens of the world. The McIntyre, who I'm not a fan of, but you got to give him his props. Him, Seth Rollins. You know what I'm saying? These guys can go, man. And then you got the SmackDown guys. You got Bray Wyatt. Cena's back. You know, you got Daniel Bryan over there. You got the Usos are back. You know, Miz and Morrison are back. You know, it's like you have players, man. You have players. So, I mean, I don't know, Jay. I feel like this is going to, you know, it's almost like a, like, you know how, I don't know, if you're a football fan, where they have the combine every year, they have the thing where they work out for the pros, right?
Yep.
That's what they're going to do.
And like I said, that's exactly what it's going to be. And like I said, especially, I mean, it's different for the performers. I don't know how, the movements in the ring. I mean, obviously, maybe they're working more out in the back, or they're just really hiding. They're going to do the spots a lot better, but it's different for them. And who knows? Maybe it's more fun for them because now they can make it a little bit more real or whatever the case is. It's really hard to kind of like put one stamp on it because it's different for everybody.
So, you there? I'm sorry. Something you cut off.
Oh, yeah. No.
Okay. Otto's agreeing with you. They should, they should call it someone else. They should call it something else and move it to Mania to October or something. Yeah, but they lost so much money. This is an international thing, man. People base their vacations around this shit, You were expecting 80,000-90,000 people, and the entire city of Tampa lost so much revenue. All the indie shows, all the fucking promotions, the WrestleCon, the High Spots thing, the Bullet Club thing, like everything shot. The economy took a dive. Vince is losing money. Listen, again, if you gave me a cap on when this pandemic was gonna come to at least a head. If you said, hey, we'll do it then and then we'll delay it till then, no one knows. We may not get a live show for the rest of the fucking year.
Yeah.
People are dying right now as we speak in the city. How bad is it going to spread? We don't know. You know what I'm saying? We don't know. So, I agree, but I disagree because I just want them to just try to move on after this. I mean, you can't. They want to cancel it because there's too much money invested in it. This is not just some kind of it's not some kind of like charity show or something. This is WrestleMania, the showcase of the immortals. There's been 36 of them, so 35 of them so far. Like this is Vince's baby, man. This is what he created,
And not for nothing, but this is also going to be what Vince always wants, is a once in a lifetime thing. This is going to be a once in a lifetime thing. I mean, who knows? I mean, maybe, twice in a lifetime it could happen again, obviously, but this is the first time ever.
I'm gonna try and be positive, right?
Oh, I agree.
I'm going to try to be positive and say this. I feel like something really amazing is going to come out of this. I don't know what. It could be a match. It could be a certain spot. It could be a moment. It could be something magical. Something's going to happen where they're going to go back and go, remember that time they had to almost cancel WrestleMania and then this happened? I feel like something's going to come out of this. I can't pinpoint what it is, but I feel like something's going to happen out of this.
What else is going to happen, too, is and what's kind of getting lost on it is that live spontaneity. Anything can happen. And especially, it's going to be taken away from the next night on Raw, which we all know the Raw after WrestleMania sometimes is better than WrestleMania itself.
Yeah, so I feel like something's going to happen. Something. And this is going to be, this might be the foundation of something in the future.
Yeah.
Maybe a reality show or like another brand extension of something. I don't know. Something silly.
Like I said, and listen, and WWE is clearly putting their money where their mouth is because look at next week's NXT show. It's going to be Gargano against, Gargano against Ciampa. And then Cole against Velveteen Dream. So they're like, hey, here's the show. We know what's happening. We can't help it. But you know what? We're still giving you what you guys want. So
that's the spirit.
Kudos to them.
That's the spirit. And my cousin says it could be a surprise signing. Otto says Punk returns, LOL. That's but you know what, though? That's something that would be that'd be like, hey, remember that time they almost didn't have WrestleMania, but CM Punk came out?
Yeah.
Who knows? And dropped a pipe bomb of some sort, I mean, but,
An edited pipe bomb?
Yeah, but something. You took everything else from me, COVID.
Yeah.
You took everything else from me. Okay? There's nothing else. Unless you take my health and my life, there's nothing else you can take from me. Yeah. You took my hockey. You took my baseball. Okay. You took my fucking. You took my XFL that I almost went to. You took my concerts away from me.
You were supposed to go to. Yep.
Took my concert away from me. Okay. You took everything away from me. You know. Give me something. And I know they want to give you something good. So give me something good. You know.
Yeah. And speaking of good too, I think AEW. As hokey as the Matt Hardy Jericho things were, and because that went on a little bit long.
Oh, 100%, 100%.
I also just to criticize as well. Like, I definitely don't think Brody Lee needed to debut last week.
I said that though. I said this whole thing would have been amazing if he had an audience. Because Brody Lee has been the guy. Choppy's been hyping him up for months.
Yeah.
He needs to go here. He needs to go there. He can talk. He can work. He's this. He's that. And he's probably everything Choppy said he was. Right?
Yeah.
But he did it to an empty fucking arena. There's just certain things you can't do in an empty arena. You need a crowd.
I mean, he came across, obviously, as a huge star with the match. I just don't think he needed to have a match. As of yet,
yeah, and then the vignette with him, you know, with him at the dinner table with his clear
you know, interpretation of Vince.
Yeah,
you know, it's definitely poking fun.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it is what it is.
Yeah,
it also has that cult feel to it too. Like you got that David Koresh type shit. You can't die until I die. You can't eat till I eat. You know, that kind of shit. Do you guys agree that AEW in an empty arena somehow isn't as awkward? Yes, and I'll tell you why. AEW tries really hard to keep shit simple with their commentating, with their talent, with the camera angles. They were doing something exciting. That's why they're on that fucking level. It's a great question, and you're right. It does feel less awkward at WWE because WWE, I feel like it's more scripted. AEW obviously is scripted, but it doesn't feel like it's really scripted. You know, it almost has that NWA 1991 feel to it. You know what I'm saying? Like where it's fresh and it were breaking away and becoming WCW. It was that fresh feeling. You know what I'm saying? They got their own belt. They didn't use the big gold belt anymore, and you know they brought and Sting was the main player, and you know, they have constant noise, right? Otto's correct, 100%. And Jay and I talked about this too. It's different, so yeah, it is less awkward. I feel like because Raw and SmackDown are more scripted. It feels like a more scripted show. You agree? Yeah. You still agree with me or no?
Yeah, well, I'm going to go with because I just think that it's got to be something to do with the buildings, how AEW is, Daly's Place, whatever it's called. Like, it's a little bit of an outdoor area, so I think they can get away with a little bit more. I could be wrong with that.
Yeah. Like I said, certain things do need an audience.
Yes.
But certain things don't, and you don't think – listen, you don't think these guys – last time some of these guys cut a promo – by themselves in a mirror.
Yeah.
You know what
I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying? Like, especially the Performance Center guys and girls, the ones who got trained by WWE who never worked the indies in their life. Yeah. You know? Roman Reigns probably cut 9,000 promos in a mirror.
Yeah.
Before telling people it was his yard.
And it comes back to that, which is kind of fun as well, because how it just comes right back to it.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm convinced that, you know, that something really good's going to happen soon out of all this.
Hey, listen, like I said, you know, the damn thing, the pandemic's taken everything else from us. Like, at least for some reason, these guys are you know, they're chugging along. So, I like I said, kudos to both of them. Absolutely.
How about thank you? You know, how about...
Yeah, and thank you.
Yeah, yeah. How about thank you for making an effort? Because you know what they really can do? They can just play fucking clips.
Yeah,
you know, they can play clips forever. They don't have to play anything live. You know what I'm saying? Like it's so they're making an effort. You know
exactly, and that's what counts at the end of the day. So, and like I said, I mean, next week we're going to be doing, we're going to run down the WrestleMania card. Hopefully, I'm excited to see for 2 days. I we knew it was going to get to this point at some point.
I'm excited because, well, I'm depressed because I'm supposed to be leaving for vacation next Wednesday.
Yeah.
But yeah. I'm excited because now I can, now I can concentrate on this. I can really put an effort into giving a good review of the podcast and for the podcast, and I can dissect certain things without getting distracted by 7 hours of one mania and worrying about who's bringing what to the party and who's eating what, who's coming, who's not. You know what I'm saying? That's the first. This is the first time. I mean, we might set up a. I was talking to Rob the other night. We should try to do like a video conference thing where everybody gets together and watch it remotely, but we're all talking at the same time, and I can record it. I could do that for a podcast too.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I was telling Phil before the show that a bar, Loggia's over here. My friend Christy, she's putting together a Zoom conference of everybody goes to the bar and they're all going to drink virtually.
Yeah, I think we're going to have a virtual WrestleMania party. It will invite all everybody. So
yeah,
I'm gonna we can focus on that and put our feelers out. But yeah, it's gonna be fun. We'll be texting each other anyway through the whole night anyway. But
oh yeah,
even if we don't do something like that, but that'd be cool if we can all do that. We're set up for it now. We can do that. But we're gonna make our own fun. And wrestling fans are the best fans in the world because they can do that. This subculture that we have with social media and wrestling and now the podcasting and stuff like that. Even though the fans are real hip to what's going on and they want to know all the inside shit and the details, and kayfabe has been dead since at least 2005 because YouTube and everything else and all this other shit. Hammer's plugging something on. Hammer, what are you putting up there? What's my son doing? He's got a YouTube, his YouTube page. Okay. He's been hard at work at home with his schooling and we'll do some stuff on the PlayStation probably too. We just talked about that last night. But anyway, I'm excited, and I'm always excited for WrestleMania. I'm excited for the Big Four, period.
Yeah.
So it is what it is.
That's it. We just got to make the best of it. That's all we can ever really do.
Yeah.
We can't change what's happening out there right now. All we can do is just go, let's just drive into this. What did they say? You steer into the skid and let's ride it out.
Yeah. Make the best of a crappy situation. I agree, Otto. Jay, anything else you want to get into? Any other news? Oh, you didn't see the Benoit thing.
No, Bucks. Go ahead. Yeah, that's what you were talking about. I it's funny with shows like that. I'm doing it with the Ruthless Aggression one. I watched the first 3 episodes and that's it. I wait for them to get all. I like to binge watch stuff.
Yeah, so I watched the both of them on YouTube. The 2 parts of the Benoit thing, and it was well done. I thought Vicky Chavo were really good. The sister-in-law. The sister-in-law,
I forget her name. She was on Jericho's podcast. Right?
She was, and she Chris Jericho is the reason why they brought the families back together, because Chris's older son was with them and whatever. And I feel like the sister-in-law picked up too much of the lingo.
Oh yeah,
she talked like she was a worker almost. You know what I'm saying? Not that she wasn't sincere or anything like that, but. The way it went down initially, and then the way it came out blew the world up. You know what I'm saying? Like, first we thought, oh my God, they were all murdered. They did a tribute to him, and then all of a sudden the next day it's like, well, no, he actually killed them, and then he killed himself. And then the whole dynamic with Chris Nowinski was on there with the whole CT thing. And the concussion syndrome type thing, and is, I mean, it was very well done. It was very depressing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I, again, we talked about this on a podcast. I can differentiate the performer from the person. Okay, like, I don't like Raven as a person. He's a fucking dick, right? To me, he was anyway. But he's a really good performer. Bully Ray, amazing performer with the Dudleys. I can't stand that motherfucker in real life, right? Chris Benoit was one of the best wrestlers on the planet. Okay, you can't take away from what he did, you know. And he does this, and it's like you listen to like people who were close to him, like Chavo and Dean Malenko. Dean's wife was on there. Vicky Guerrero was on there. You know, it's like no one could believe what happened, and that's what got me depressed. And then JR, yeah. And then JR going to the funeral, and they all fucking shunned him off. You have to watch it. You have to watch it.
Yeah, no. Well, like I said, I'm gonna get around to it. It was funny because that's how I did it. Last year, whenever they had the other ones, I did it for. I downloaded the app on my phone.
Come in. So someone knocked. Oh well.
Oh,
never mind. So go ahead, Jay. I'm sorry. Someone knocked on my door.
Is it the ghost of Benoit?
Is it the ghost of my booze? No, it doesn't knock. That was fucking creepy. Go ahead.
But I downloaded the app on my phone because I don't have Vice TV or what have you.
It's on YouTube.
But now they're going to show them all on YouTube, or is it just the Benoit series?
No, they're probably going to show them on TV first and put them on YouTube. You know?
Yeah. But like I said, I mean, the ones that they did last year, I'm looking forward to the Dino Bravo one.
That's the one. That and New Jack, now that we have some footage from Mass Transit, we could actually do a fucking podcast that we want to do.
Yeah.
Because I've been trying to cover that for a long time.
I couldn't believe you've never seen that. That I actually seen.
I never saw the footage. I tried looking for it for a while, and then I gave up, and then fucking Otto sent me like three or four clips. I was like, holy shit. So we have that. And
gruesome.
No, we're definitely going to, when that episode comes out, we're definitely doing a podcast on Mass Transit.
Well, like I said, I'll the next one that comes out, I'll make sure I'll watch the week of, and then. But I said it too. I was like, oh, maybe I'll do this. But I was like, I spent so much time today doing all this audio technical stuff. I lost track of time.
It is what it is, man. It's going to work. Yeah. It's a very well done wrestling series.
They do such a great job.
My favorite one is still Brody, by far.
Oh, the first one. Yeah, that one was amazing. You know what? But then I always loved the Von Erich story, though. That whole thing fascinates me. That fascinates me. How all that bad stuff can actually happen.
Tuesday is the New Jack episode.
Oh, there we go.
So yeah, once we watch that and then we get it on audio, I'm going to do that, and then we'll probably do that in like 2 weeks. We'll probably do the New Jack one.
I know.
But I really want to wait for Choppy. Hopefully Choppy can be there to do that.
Yeah,
we might wait for Choppy to do the episode.
I know. I'm pretty sure that... Cornette, I think, interviewed the guys from Vice that do this series. I haven't listened to that either yet.
You know what I don't like about... I love Cornette, by the way. You know what I don't like about Cornette? Is that he can't decide whether he wants to fucking to support something or not. I think he just goes along with it for the sake of putting on a podcast. Cause there's certain things that he should be relating to because of his background and his character and his time in the wrestling business, and then it's like then he just shits on stuff. You know what I'm saying? I don't know, but
I always think with him, I think it's always a work. I think he's always
really.
I think so.
Okay.
Because there's no, who else besides Cornette is shitting on? I mean, listen, he may have absolute disdain for the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega for all I know. But who else is publicly saying it? Nobody. So he's cornered the market on, which is genius. If it is a work, and which he's an absolute worker to its core. And there's no bigger moneymaker than if Cornette went to AEW to have a tag team and go against the Young Bucks. I don't care if it is the revival, that's even better. But you could just insert any good tag team and put Cornette with them, and it would make money because every internet fan wants to see that.
Okay, that's a fair assessment, buddy.
Yeah,
that's a fair assessment. By the way,
fuck the revival.
That's what I'm saying. Fuck the revival.
Fuck the revival.
No, I'm joking. I love the revival, actually. My question, Mox, is Cornette so used to putting on a work that he that he don't know how to shoot? Yeah, that's perfect.
I think yeah.
That's perfect, Mark. That's exactly what I was trying to. I couldn't get the words out like that, but yeah, he just tries to. I think he's trying too hard. You know, I don't know.
I think like you said, I think he does it on purpose. I think he's just trying to play that role, which, you know, he's doing a great job at it, you know, and with something like him where he is, I think he's another one, like he's polarized, you know.
Yeah.
Either you love him or you hate him.
Oh, no, I love him. I just think
love him.
It's always a work.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Everything's a work with him.
Perfect, Mark. That's perfect.
I think it's a great point.
That he doesn't know how to shoot because, you know.
Everything's a work.
He's doing something the same way for fucking. I mean, listen, old habits are hard to break, man. You know?
Absolutely. And I'm telling you, I bet you in the back of his mind, he's like, I'm doing this to get a payday. Because it's all you need to do is come up with the right money. And Tony Khan's got it. Like, you know, if the Young Bucks wanted to do it and whoever. But I'm pretty sure that if you come up with a number that he'll drive his ass down to Georgia or wherever the hell.
See, though, here's the thing, though, with Tony Khan. I don't think he's the typical money mark. You know, he really likes wrestling to the point where he borrowed the millions from his dad to start a fucking wrestling company. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, I don't think he's that.
And he surrounded himself with a bunch of guys that know how to do it, and he's just a fan, like he's a huge fan, and he's getting his feet. And he's a businessman, so it's not like he can't figure it out.
Yeah, man. You know? I guess you're right. If you throw enough money at anybody, but you know, again, Jim Cornette, he said, and I quote, you know, I can work anywhere I want to work because I choose to now. You know, it's like it's not like he has to. He needs the money. You know. He's in a position where he doesn't need the money.
Yeah.
And if you know, I don't know. Would they benefit from somebody like him? I don't know. I mean, the Ring of Honor thing with him still throws me off to this day.
Because
he shit on everybody that was good. He shit on everybody. He shit on the fucking Briscoes. He hated fucking Kevin Steen. He hated Generico. He hated everybody.
I think he still bashes them a little bit.
Yeah, he bashes the Young Bucks. He hates everybody, but you know, not everybody's Bobby and Stan, you know, or Dennis and Bobby and Dennis. You know what I'm saying? Not everybody is Gordon Solie. Not everybody is, you know, Ric Flair and the Horseman and Dusty and, you know,
Jerry Lawler,
you know. Kevin Sullivan. You know, not everybody could be. Yeah, not everybody. This ain't the territories, man. I adore those people. They're all my favorite people in the world when it comes to wrestling. You know,
I think there's huge money to be made, and I wouldn't be surprised if it happens.
I just want success, and I want to be able to turn the channel and still be entertained. That's all I really want to do at this point in my life. Oh, yeah. And I have all the stuff I have. I have all the footage I need to go back and, you know, watch all my old shit because whether it be the network or my collection, whatever. But like I just at this point in my life as a fan, as an older fan, I just want to be entertained, you know, and I'm still entertained. So, and I'm glad that there's more stuff out there now, you know, between them and New Japan and Impact and Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, and you know,
there's no news of New Japan. I haven't heard anything.
Pre-sales I got to show you the prices for the pre-sale for the Wrestle Dynasty.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, no, we're going to have to take a loan out, but we're going. So I already spoke to the powers that be. I said, you know, I don't think we're sparing. We're going to try not to spare any expense and do a takeover club style, you know?
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely in.
All right, let's keep this train rolling. I know you got work early in the morning, so we're going to try to wrap this up soon. Any other news before we go to break?
I think that's all. I think that's all I got.
That's it. Okay, guys, hang out with us. We got a really cool. Well, I don't know if it's a cool throwback, but we got a throwback for you nonetheless.
It's a throwback.
It's a throwback, regardless. Please hang out with us and hang out. We have a real cool throwback for you, and then we'll say what's up and take it to another episode in the book. So you're listening to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. We're live on a rant, and we'll be right back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Okay, let's give this a try. The Shining Wizards is a funny wrestling podcast. I don't know. No. The Shining Wizards is an insightful wrestling podcast. I don't know. How about this? The Shining Wizards is a great wrestling podcast that airs live Monday nights at 7 p.m. East on rantdmradio.com and Rant Entertainment Media on the TuneIn app. Of course, it's available on all podcasting platforms. I think that covers it. To check us out, go over to shiningwizards.com and get ready to join us for some wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
I don't know.
All those moments will be lost in time. Like tears in the rain.
In a world where Hollywood tries to tell you how to live while doing the exact opposite. Where fresh ideas are tossed away for a cash grab reboot. Where the media has become nothing but propaganda and freedom is traded for what they tell you is security and safety. There is Inconclusive Breakdown. Your weekly look at current events and entertainment with no political correct BS. Just news and uncensored opinions, everywhere you get podcasts. A proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
Horns up, beautiful motherfuckers. Radioactive Metal is here on the Shining Wizards Network, and we want you to listen.
Every week, we cover the world of heavy metal and speak to your favorite bands.
We discuss new releases, concerts, controversies, and everything else that's related to heavy metal.
And occasionally, we even talk about pro wrestling.
Catch us live every Thursday night on PureRockRadio.net.
Listen to past episodes at RadioactiveMetal.org or at ShiningWizardsNetwork.com.
And remember, it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
Hey, this is Mike from the Midnight Jury. When you are done with this show, join my co-hosts Adam, Cal, Sydney, and I every Friday as we travel back to the last old-school generation of the 80s and 90s to review the best and worst in pop culture, horror, and occasionally pro wrestling on WLWstudios.com or the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, or Player FM. Go back in time when it was all about VHS, arcades, and hanging out at the mall. And remember that every second Saturday of the month, we go live at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Rant EM Radio, which includes taking your calls. Once again, that's the Midnight Jury on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, and our home, WLWstudios.com. We'll see you there.
This is J.J. Dillon, the leader of the original Four Horsemen, and you're listening to Phil J. and that pain-in-the-ass choppy on the Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
All right, we're back. Turnbuckle Throwbacks live. What's up, Jay?
I just had a huge sneeze as soon as I was getting ready to come back.
Turnbuckle Throwbacks live on The Rant, episode 351. Live on Rant, EM Radio, part of Shining Wizards Network, part of Doc Satellite Media. It's Phil, it's Jay, it's the chat room. I didn't do the YouTube thing tonight because I couldn't fucking figure it out right away.
Remote.
I have to. I got so wrapped up in after you and I were doing the echo thing and trying to figure out the audio. I had to step away from the computer for a couple hours, and then I just started doing laundry. I got into the new Vin Diesel movie was on the gimmick, so I was watching that. And I was like, eh, all right, I'm over it. I was like, I'll figure it out. Oh, it'll be on YouTube, though, eventually. I'll upload it as a clip, though. So, you know.
Uh-oh.
Anyway.
Oh, for a second, I just thought I lost my internet, but it was just...
Just a glitch?
Yeah, just a glitchy.
All right, big boy. What's up?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
I was about to say, you know how it goes down here in the sticks of Staten Island?
We are in the sticks of Staten Island, technically. We're the most south you can go, I guess, at this point. Half on it. Put it this way. Half of Jay's neighborhood's in Jersey. Half of my neighborhood's in Jersey. So it's the truth, though. Yeah. You can walk to the Outer Bridge from here.
I could throw a rock and hit the Outer Bridge.
Basically. That's good on, by the way, if you had. You can do that. Yeah. All right. Let's do it, kid. You ready?
And now, here is your throwback of the week, sponsored by the Shining Wizards Network and Rant EM Radio.
Well, we were going to celebrate Chobby coming back. You sound far away, brother.
No, am I back?
You're back. Okay, yeah. Okay, good. Thank God. I thought I lost you. Yeah, this is going to be like a celebration because Chobby's like, oh, we were teasing him. Well, you guys, when I come back, you're going to do a fucking really bad WCW pay-per-view? And Jay's like, yeah, that's exactly what we're going to do.
Exactly. It's 20 years to the day.
So Chobby goes, yeah? So now we're all together last week before I left, before Jay and I left, goes, what do you want to do? Chobby's like, Uncensored, which was voted the worst pay-per-view of the year 2000, by the way. Just ahead.
Obviously, rightfully so.
He said rightfully so.
Oh, it's terrible.
This was a hard watch, man. This was a really hard watch. This was a hard watch.
It was, and I think this was... I know it's going to be a little bit... I think this was the first pay-per-view of Bischoff coming back.
Any, I don't know. Maybe. I didn't watch the follow-up. Yeah. Did you watch the follow-up? I didn't watch the follow-up.
No, I didn't watch the follow-up either. But I know at this time, this is when it gets a little hairy because Vince Russo comes in for a few months, leaves, and comes back with Bischoff. Yeah. So I think this is during that time.
All right. So we're kicking it back to March 19th, 2000, from the brand new American Airlines Arena in downtown Miami, home of the Miami Heat. This is WCW Uncensored 2000. This was the sixth and final Uncensored, by the way. And let's see. All right. You ready?
Go ahead.
So the show opens up with Chris Candido making his debut on the announced team.
Which, awesome.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's really nothing bad about Chris Candido. If you're a fan, I've always been a fan of Chris Candido. By the way,
yeah, no gimmicks needed.
No gimmicks needed, baby.
Well, this was actually Hard Knocks, Chris Candido.
Yeah, Hard Knocks. I'm sorry. I stand corrected. This fucking WCW nonsense.
Oh god.
The first match was the artist formerly known as Prince Iacocca, as he used to call him jokingly. I think it was who called him that? Iacocca. I think it was Bobby. Called him that.
Bobby,
yeah. And he fought defending the Cruiserweight Championship against Psicosis.
Yep.
How about that? That was, I mean.
I really like it. I noticed Hoovy coming out, you know, obviously with Psicosis. And Hoovy takes a drink of water, has his glasses on, shakes his head, drops his glasses, doesn't pick his glasses back up. It's like, why are you even coming out with the glasses on at this point?
Yeah. Paisley, who is Mrs. Booker T, Charmel.
Yeah.
She Ikea hits the jumping DDT for the pin. Paisley gets distracted.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and then you didn't mention the cat fight between Charmel and Hoovy.
Cat fight.
Yeah, oh god, Mark Madden going into it.
He's the worst, dude. I know I've mentioned that before. I can't get behind him. You like him?
You, you, No, yeah, no.
I mean, are you struggling with this decision, Jay?
Because I don't want to talk. I really like don't like to say anything bad about anybody, but no, like he was just, it was too much. You know, it was too much inside terms. I mean, he it was hit and miss. I think would be the best way to say Mark Madden, hit or miss.
Well, I'm glad you think so. Okay. Next adjoining announced team is Miss Hancock, who is...
This is what I care about.
Holy shit, man. Oh, my God. Tori Wilson wore, like, the skankiest clothes, man.
Miss Hancock, unbelievable. You almost forget how, you know, and how like, you use the word beautiful she was.
I don't know about you. I don't forget because I have a stack of Playboys to remind me of all those girls that posed.
Nah.
Every time a WWE diva posed, I bought it. Even China's.
Same here.
Yep.
Same. I think I did buy China's.
And even her mangled vagina, I have that too. yeah. So it was announced after Lane and Rave said they would no longer want to be the manager. Ms. Hancock announced she already had a new tag team, which was the Smiling Demons, right? Was that what they called themselves?
The Smiley Demons.
Which was Norman Smiley and the Demon, right?
Yeah.
Her new team was going to be Silver King and El Dandy.
Yeah.
Against Norman Smiley and the Demon. Well, it was supposed to be Silver King and El Dandy, but it was Norman Smiley and the Demon against Lenny Lane and Rave.
Yeah.
So
I tell you though, man, Norman Smiley, one entertaining son of a bitch. I mean, probably a really underrated, you know, worker wrestler.
The Big Wiggle.
But man, was he fucking entertaining in that ring.
The Big Wiggle.
Yeah.
He still has a job because of that.
You know?
Yeah. No joke. Yeah. It just that's the only spot for me was, and then didn't she come in to dance with them and smack his ass and
yeah
oh God.
It went a little haywire after the match, but
that was rough. That was rough, Jay.
But yeah, I mean thankfully the match was under 5 minutes. Which, you know, it needed to be.
He said it needed to be.
But this is where I thought Mark Madden was good with Stacy out there. Like, they were all like buttering up to her, which I thought was actually pretty good.
Yeah. Oh. Anyway,
the next match, I always thought Bam Bam was a better promo. I don't know if this is just an off night.
No, he's my favorite. He's one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. You all know I am a lover and supporter of Scott Charles Bam Bam Bigelow, the Beast from the East.
Yes,
this time around was just not. He tried to put the problem. The problem wasn't the promo. The problem was his opponent. He tried to put the wall over. They're both dead, by the way. Weird, right?
Yeah, which is crazy.
This was just crazy a fucking dud, man. This was a terrible, half-assed. As Choppy would say, dreadful. That's one of Choppy's words.
Dreadful would be the perfect way to put it.
Yeah, this match was dreadful. The match finishes with the wall hitting the choke slam through a table at 3 minutes 39 seconds. You couldn't end that match quicker enough.
Yeah, and like I said, I mean, it was just, you know, to say that Bigelow's, you know, best days were behind them. You know, I guess you can make that argument. But
I'm going to make that argument because I don't think his days when he wasn't a bad performer. Still, I just think they just gave him shitty roles.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. Like,
he could still go for sure. But yeah, I'm just saying, like, you know, he wasn't doing the moonsault. He wasn't doing the injury.
No.
But then again, he's not doing it against the wall. So I see what you're saying. The choke slam looked like shit. I mean, even the match was as bad as the pyro that went off with the monitors going off. You know, like it was that bad. You know, and then even the stuff post match, with David Flair.
Oh yeah, so Crowbar and David Flair come down to attack the wall. Crowbar and wall fight up the scaffold. Tony Schiavone exaggerates the height of the underestimating the height of the wall.
Yeah, he ain't no carpenter.
Right. Choke slams him through a part of the stage. The stage collapses. Tony Schiavone thinks crowbar landed on hard concrete, and he didn't. Yep. You fucking idiot.
Yeah.
And then it gets progressively worse.
Yeah.
Hardcore title, 3 count, all members of 3 count versus Brian Knobbs. And Brian Knobbs has to pin every one of these guys to win the title back.
And he dedicates his match to his brothers, Crowbar and Bam Bam.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
This was a gimmicky. Did it take Brian Knobbs to get that cart full of weapons? It seemed like it was longer than the second match.
Yeah. So, I mean, I won't go through the whole thing, but.
No.
There's a Knob fire extinguishes them. There's a chair shot over Sugar Shane Helms' face. Knobs waffles him with the broom for the win at 3 minutes. You would think a 3-on-1 would go more than 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Now it's 2-on-1. I'm sorry. I'm not done. He hits first. He hits Helms, gets him. Then it's 2-on-1. Evan Courageous gets powerbombed through a ring table. That's 4:15. Now it's Shannon Moore who was hiding from the whole time.
And that was a hell of a bump, though. By
They're cruiserweights. They're gonna bump. I mean, you know, he's twice their fucking size. Brian Knobbs. He's awful. You know. So now at one point, you know, it got bad, man. Trash can with the splash. You know, the Home Depot, you know, bendable trash cans. This match went almost 7 minutes long. The first fall went 3 minutes. You would think that we went less, but it was so fucking bad, man.
Yeah. Well, like you said, I mean, you know, what do you think is worse? Do you think it's Brian Knobbs' wrestling or his gaping asshole?
Yeah. His gaping asshole.
Yeah, that's terrible. I can't believe I curse Bowman every time I see Brian Knobbs.
That was Jay's. What do they call that that was Jay's initiation. That was Jay's initiation into the network into the Christmas
God,
party. The Christmas party. Jay still gets nightmares of Bowman showing him the asshole Brian Knobbs, the gaping asshole, I should say.
Jesus.
What a twat waffle that Bowman is, huh? So this disturbs me too because Booker T needs a friend. His brother Stevie Ray turned on him, got 2 overweight black guys to hang out with him to make Harlem Heat. They were terrible. It was Big T, who was Ahmed Sloppy Johnson, and some other dude who had no business being in the ring. No business being in the ring. So who does he recruit? Billy Kidman. Ugh.
Yeah.
I love Billy Kidman. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was gonna say nothing says I need backup. Like I gotta get Billy Kidman. The only reason I would get Billy Kidman is so I can have Tori Wilson at least by the ringside and I can get a good shot of her.
Or you get Billy Kidman for a fucking cruiserweight match. Yeah. You don't put him in the ring with fucking 4 angry black dudes.
Yeah.
Makes no sense. Storyline doesn't tell a good fucking story. This was fucking terrible. Terrible.
Yeah. And God, and Ahmed Johnson just you know.
I mean, he looked good and was bad in WWF. Now he looks bad and is bad in WCW.
Yeah.
Oof.
Oh my.
What a shit show, huh?
Yeah, it was just clunky. Clunky at best. I mean, I don't think it went that long. It was it seemed like it went longer.
They couldn't even get the finish right.
I know.
He called it a sidewalk slam, a spine buster. Even the commentators weren't into it. It was terrible that Booker T
It was. I tell you the next match though. The next match I kind of liked.
Another hardcore match though.
I think I understand why now. I think I have an affinity for Vampiro. I don't know why, but like I think I'm starting to like. I discover a lot of his Mexican stuff, and like I'm like this guy's actually was really really good and completely underutilized in WCW. And he plays into the story later on in the show. which that's another clusterfuck. But I actually like this match. I actually like this match a lot. And plus, it's hard hitting. I think they tried to go into a little Benoit, Kevin Sullivan, you know, area. You know, it worked once. Let's try it again type thing. But I didn't hate this match. Let's put it that way.
Okay. Oh, you mean with the Spring Stampede thing?
What? Oh, yeah, yeah, from 97. Yeah, I think they were tapping. What, they went into the bathroom and everything. You know, I think they were just trying to tap into that kind of feeling. And I it didn't hit it, but I think that's what it was going for.
I could see that. I could see that.
And like I said, it's funny how, like, you know, like Lex Luger's just going out, like breaking arms. Like these guys are having a match with two broken arms.
That's a fair assessment.
Yeah.
That's a fair assessment. I was trying to find the dusty thing. Hold on, where he goes.
There's a lady.
There's a lady in the men's bathroom. I got to stop off and get some relief. Where the hell? All these fucking sounds are like not where they want. Where they should be. Hold on a minute. I'm gonna try to find it. But I'm not a big fan of Vampiro. I don't dislike him, and yeah. I like Finley. You know, I like Finley, but I don't like him enough to give him like a fucking run like that. You know.
Yeah. Well, I think this was when he just returned back. Didn't he just return back from the company at this point?
Yeah, I think so. I think he was back and forth and that kind of thing. But
he took a hell of a bump with the finish, with the nail in the coffin, the Michinoku driver on the floor.
Oh, so you're talking about when Finley was in the bathroom?
Yeah.
Here's what you should have heard.
The Taskmaster had an idea to go to the urinals there, but Benoit fighting back.
This is the best I've ever seen. When you talk about street fighting falls anywhere right here.
Right there with security.
There's a lady in the men's bathroom.
Wow. I tell you,
there's a lady.
There's a lady in the men's bathroom.
Look at that. There is a woman in the men's
bathroom. In the men's John.
Can you believe that?
Yes, I can.
She just
stopped off.
She got to get
some relief.
Where's he going? He's throwing down the laundry chute now.
But like I said, I didn't hate this match. I mean, the next match was just.
Got to get some relief.
She stopped off.
She stopped. She had to stop off. Get some relief. Tag team, the WCW Tag Team Championship is being defended. The Mamalukes, Big Vito, and Johnny the Bull Stamboli against, with Disco Inferno, by the way.
Yeah.
Against the Harris brothers, the racist Ron and Don Harris. Big Heavy, Heavy D and yeah. Big Ron.
Yeah.
This
match, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's why I love the prior match, because, like, the prior match is measured up against shit. You know, so like you look back at it and go, well, that match wasn't the worst.
I like Johnny the Bull.
I love Johnny the Bull.
Yeah, me too. I just don't like Ron and Don Harris because they're racist and they can't wrestle that well. But the best part of this match was when Mark Madden offered Disco $20 to leave.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's hit or miss.
No, Madden was that was the best line of the night for him. All right, so Ron Harris won't sell a fucking thing, by the way, right?
Yeah.
He uses the belt, Disco gets him to him, just hot garbage, hits the H-bomb on Vito. H-bomb, by the way, that's another racist fucking term. Hits the H-bomb, 8:46 was the time, they'll blame Disco for the loss. What's up, Uptown Georgie?
Yeah.
So they had new tag team champions, and I forgot they were in the NWL. I forgot that. I know they were like the Vince Russo cronies, you know, the security guys.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But they played the NWO. I totally forgot about that, you know?
Yeah.
So now we go backstage. There's a limo there. Commentators debating who it is. They don't. Then Mean Gene is with Team Package, which would be Flair.
Team Package.
Team Package. Unbelievable name. Would be Flair, Luger, and Liz. Luger says he's glad that Chicken Sting has made it back off the DL so he can beat his ass, and then Flair woos a lot, and he's about to make Hogan bleed. It's weird that he doesn't even get a fucking shirt, but
yeah,
whatever. But he doesn't give a shit. And then, of course, Dustin Rhodes says he'll retire Terry Funk tonight. I can't believe that Terry Funk and Dustin Rhodes had a match.
Yeah. Didn't we do another
we
Terry
did
Funk?
Spring oh, yeah, the, Spring Stampede.
Yeah. Like, you know, and especially Dustin Rhodes is with Terry Funk last month, and then now obviously, you know, it just plays on the whole thing that's been happening for 30 years, 40 years between them. You know, this is, you know, another bull. It was a bull rope match.
Yeah, 9 minutes though, and then he, instead of, you know, he beats it with a pile driver.
Yeah,
in a bull rope match, there's no beat. It's like there's no, I don't know. Funk couldn't even make him quit. This is Funk's match. I mean, yeah. Actually, it was Dustin's match because Dusty invented the fucking. Actually, he mastered. Let me rephrase that. He mastered the bull rope match, Dusty Rhodes. So you would think Dustin would be somewhat better at it, or good, or at least as good, maybe, right? Because he's a Rhodes. Nah, not so much.
Yeah,
not so much.
Yeah.
So you, go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was just gonna say we have to talk about the chicken.
No, go ahead.
That this.
This is a fun guy. He's 5 foot nothing.
Oh,
dressed as a chicken.
God. Dressed as a chicken. And how about the chicken clucking?
They put noises over the PA. They put chicken noises under the PA.
This is why, in a nutshell, WCW crashed and burned.
Fucking
right
nuts,
here.
Dude. It's nuts.
Like, who was just like, what do you want to do, Funker? Oh, wait. You want to bring out... Yeah, hold on. We'll get one of these short guys dressed up in this chicken outfit. It's like, you know, who's making these fucking decisions here?
It was bad.
Just bad.
Fucking bad.
Bad, bad, bad.
All right. So now we go backstage. Gene is with Sid Vicious. He's concerned about Jeff Jarrett. But Sid isn't.
Yeah.
I don't think Sid cares. He cares about a softball game.
He cares about a softball game and getting paid.
That's
and
right.
You know he's getting paid at this point.
This match should have been good 10 years prior. It's sad. Sad Mime Sting.
Yeah.
Sad Mime Sting versus Lex Luger. The Lumberjack match that never happened.
Yeah. Well, it somewhat happened. I mean... Listen, everybody got to wear casts, which was nice. At least they get to do things together.
Oh, Jesus.
I mean, one of my favorite parts, which, and I don't know why, like just Tank Abbott coming out, knocking out fucking Doug Dillinger.
Yeah, and threatened him too. we'll get to that in a second.
What they should have did was just follow up from last month. Have him pull out a knife on Doug Dillinger.
Like, have him pull a knife out? What are you fucking... Dude, that's called a felony. You can't pull a knife out.
He did it to Big Al last month.
Yeah. He can pull... Big Al. He said pull a knife on Doug Dillinger. He's going to shank the head of security. What's wrong with you, dog?
You know what? I think Dillinger, I think he stops. Actually, really...
I don't know. But anyway, so at this point, Liz hits Sting with the bat. Vampiro grabs it off of her. Luger pins for a two. Gunther goes for a torture rack. Vampiro comes in because he's the only one that stayed after everyone left.
Yeah.
Vampiro stayed. Vampiro comes in the ring with a lame bat shot. Then Sting hits the Scorpion Death Drop at 7 minutes even. What a terrible fucking match.
Yeah.
Then we go to Tank.
I mean,
go ahead. I'm sorry,
but I was going to say the crowd, you know, was still with it. Like the crowd was
Sting,
still with Sting,
dude. Sting was the fucking he's the franchise player, man.
They were with Sting. They were with Vampiro.
Well, honestly, we didn't mention the crowd tonight, but the crowd was into it. I don't know why, but they were into it. You know,
yeah, for some god awful reason.
Oof, this is fucking shitty. Now we go to Tank Abbott. We go to Tank Abbott, who cuts a horrid promo on why he doesn't like Doug Dillinger, so he punched him. No reason.
No reason.
So then we cut away from the limo door opening, because somewhere Jeff Jarrett's walking and he's slowly clapping. We know that. Sid act surprised at being in the next match? Did he not know he was in the main event? Oh, no. Well, that wasn't really the
Well, they moved it up. That's moved the story. They moved it up.
I don't know why this didn't headline. Because the main event is fucking is awful.
Well, I think it was supposed to be telling the story of, you know, that, you know, Hogan, you know, the whole work shoot thing that Russo does with Hogan later on. I think this was the planting of the seed. At least that's what I'm thinking. It's the only thing that makes sense.
I'll go with that.
Yeah.
I like how you think, partner.
Well, I'm grasping at good. WCW straw set.
Look at you. The WCW straw set.
Yeah, they're super short.
Super short. That's awesome. All right. The WCW Heavyweight Championship. Sid. Not Sid Vicious, not Psycho Sid. Just Sid.
Yep. Well, he's not the Millennium Man of the 2000 anymore. So.
Not anymore. He's just Sid. Softball Sid. Sid. We'll call him Softball Sid.
Softball Sid.
Softball Sid. You want to get into this a little bit or what?
Yeah, so like you said, so it literally just started happening. And, you know, when he says, like in the beginning of the match, like if Jeff Jarrett wins the match, like Medasia, Tylene Buck, and the other hoe, they're going to get like naked if he wins. Like, you just go, oh, I can see how this match is going to go. what are you going to do? Like, what? Like, where do you go from there? By the way, Medasia, very underrated in the looks department too. Just for the record.
Okay.
Let the record show,
says Big Cop.
But they go like, you know, like it was just another one. I mean, I'm not a Jeff Jarrett guy, you know, I never understood it, you know, but like, you know, they're brawling into the crowd. If you look at Sid Vicious and Jeff Jarrett, you know, side by side, Sid is squashing Jeff Jarrett, you know, and but you know, then they, you know, they did this, you know, terrible ref bump, you know, where just, you know, Nick Patrick oversells the punch.
Yeah, like impartial Nick Patrick warns Jeff Jarrett for using a closed fist, right? Of all people,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
This match was a shit show.
And then Sid gets hit with a guitar. I looked it up. It was about 15 times in 3 weeks he got hit with a guitar, and I thought of it tonight when I watched it. I was just like, ah, you know, like it's a stupid, like the guitar move is supposed to come out of nowhere. Jeff Jarrett always did this thing where he turned the guy around, and it's just like it took a second. Like the guy turns around and he's wincing. It's just like it was just always that's always a clunky move to me.
Yeah. Insane. So what's the big finish here?
Oh, the Yappa Pie.
No, big finish in the match.
Oh, in the match? Oh, I thought you were talking about that. I thought you were talking about...
So Slick Johnson comes out. He's followed by Hogan, drags him out. Now it's more clear who the big star of the company is, obviously. Yeah. Hogan cleans house on all the NWO guys, boots Jarrett for the pin. Okay, the Yap... What is it called, Jay? The Yap Pie?
The Yappa Pie.
Yappa Pie.
The old Yappa Pie Indians. You know, the Indian strap match.
Yeah, this was dismal. Hogan, 47 years old at this point. Flair is 51, by the way, at this point.
Yeah.
I'm just giving you guys
And like I said, I mean, and you want to say, like, listen, you can't deny what Hogan and Flair did. You definitely can never deny that. These guys are just drawing money. But, you know, at this point, like, you're supposed to make guys, you know. And I'm sure a lot of it is, hey, maybe I could do this with somebody. You know, but then the other of it is like, I still want to be on top, though. To me, I think it was like it always went both ways.
So, I agree. What bothers me even more is that the match was terrible. I mean, even if you weren't going to put the other guys over, at least have a good match. But how can 51-year-old Ric Flair have a good match with a 47-year-old Hulk Hogan? You know, Ric Flair would have been better wrestling Johnny the Bull. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because this was fucking terrible. This is terrible. You know?
I mean, they do. They did this. I mean, obviously, Flair juices, you know, chat match. So you got to. But they do this. They, you know, they go out to the aisleway, and all of a sudden, Flair's leading. Hogan trails it behind, starts punching him, and then Lex Luger hits Hulk Hogan with not. I'm not gonna say a terrible chair shot. I've seen worse, but I've also seen a lot better. But man, fucking Hogan just looks just. You could just tell that he's just there. He's like, oh, I got a blade now. Like you can see him just fumbling in front of the camera. Camera doesn't pan any other which way. He doesn't turn away. And then he finally turns away and looks at Mickey J. It was just a terrible blade job. But you know, they got to bleed. They got to bleed. They got to make that money.
Yeah, it was fucking terrible. It was absolutely dismal. You know, and then Hogan starts no-selling everything.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's just terrible. And then the worst part of this all, the absolute worst part, there's a fucking three count in a strap match.
I was just going to say, Hogan.
Who does
Hogan
that?
Hogan goes around. He taps one corner. The crowd. And listen, I've intents and purposes, the crowd was semi into it. Like, you know, they're fucking Hulk Hogan. And, you know, he's tapping the corners. And then out of nowhere, just goes for the three count. Like, what the? And then hits the fourth corner. It's like, what the fuck?
I don't understand.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't understand. Like,
who was booking this shit?
Well, we know who was, but.
Yeah.
Fucking WCW.
And it's funny because it's like one of these things where you look at it and you just go, at the time, I guess you don't have the foresight to see what's happening, but like I guess when they're booking it, they're just like, all right, what do you want to do, Hulk? Yeah, no problem, man. You know what, Hulk, you got 25 years in the business, you know what you're doing. And then meanwhile, he's just out there going into business for himself. He's fucking goes into no-sell mode.
It makes no sense.
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
You know,
it's unbelievable.
And like I said, just other things. And it's so funny because, like, even, like, with the strap match or whatever, like, they had nobody else there. Like, everybody that was in not the strap match, the lumberjack match, like, everybody that was there already came out. So, like, Fit Finley took this horrific bump. It was, you know, like I said, it was a really good bump on the back. Like, sell like you're injured. He comes out like two matches later and there's a lumberjack. Like, what the fuck are you doing out there, man? You just got beat. And then we didn't even talk about the promo he did after. He's like, and now he's got respect for Vampiro. Like, they're trying to put the, like something on Vampiro, it looks like. At least at this point.
Yeah, but like that match made no sense either, because where did all the lumberjacks go?
Yeah, they all went to the back.
Why?
Why were you out there? Why were you out there?
Why are you out there? Makes no sense.
They're in the back, and like, you know, I don't know if Bischoff or Russo, and she's like, what do you guys want to do? He's like, listen, let's just do this big melee out there. He goes, good, I like it. Let's go to catering. It's like, how long is the fucking meeting?
You know, people want to shit on dusty finishes, but that was fucking miserable.
Yeah, this
that makes a dusty finish look like a fucking Broadway, you know?
Yeah. Well, at least when the dusty finish, like the first few times you did it, it made sense.
Different. Correct.
It was different.
It told a story. Correct.
It made sense. Correct. Then, like, you know, I mean, did the dusty finish get used too much? Of course, but what in wrestling doesn't get used too much at this point? Well, you know, that we've always seen.
Yeah.
If you're giving this a fuck, man.
I give it a negative A.
You got negative.
You want to give it a number rating instead of a grade? I'll give it a negative zero. Negative two,
this
maybe.
This is
miserable. This might be the worst pay-per-view we've done.
I was just trying to think of it. Like
351 episodes later, you know?
This is bad.
Really bad, dog. Really bad.
And What's going to be good about it is that it's just only going to get better from this point.
WCW, yeah.
At least by the next few months.
Good times.
We get, especially now, Choppy will listen, but Chop, it's coming. There's some bad WCW coming. I cannot wait.
You guys better come up with some better content.
No way. Once a month. Once a month, we are doing a bad show. I cannot wait. But it's funny because and I don't know what it was. I think it was Impact put up on their, I think it was the Instagram page, perhaps. But they were showing old Impact stuff, and I just go, you know what, man? Now that I can't wait to be doing that now in the coming months or whatever. We could throw an Impact show in because they had some good stuff too. They had some really shitty stuff as well, but.
You want to talk about Mark Madden being hit and miss? Old TNA, the weekly shows were hit and miss.
Hit and miss, exactly.
Yeah, I'm not mad at it. And Lockdown was one of my favorite pay-per-views of all time, that first one.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I think that's it, buddy. I think we're done.
I think that's going to be it. I mean, like I said, it was terrible. I mean, thankfully, I had your laptop to, distract me.
Yeah, man.
But this was pretty bad.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you guys stuck in there with us and hung out. This is the.
Thank you guys very much.
All right, let's play some music. All right, you guys know all the social media handles. TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com, RantEMRadio.com, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Patreon.com/TurnbuckleThrowbacks. You want to donate some dough. More content's coming really soon. What else? Oh, ProWrestlingTees.com/TurnbuckleThrowbacks.
Yep.
You want to snail mail us? TurnbuckleThrowbacks1@gmail.com. What else?
Yeah.
Jay has no shows because he can't play anywhere.
Can't even practice anywhere.
Can't practice anywhere.
Yep. Can practice only at home.
Only at home, he says.
Only at home.
Only at home with your drum kit.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. What else? Let's see. I think that's really it. Next week is going to be the 30th anniversary of WrestleMania 6.
Very excited for this.
Very excited about that.
Like you said, we have special things coming next week with this.
Yes. And so. we're going to preview this year's Mania. And we'll probably open up the phones, maybe the Discord. So maybe we'll take some calls, hang out, do a little party. Jay, you're not on Twitter, right?
No, I don't know how to use that.
Jay doesn't know how to use Twitter. I think that's it for us, man. Say goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight, Gracie.